Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph, 1-9, lesson 83. We're going to continue with Luke chapter 2 and verse 42. In verse 41, we were reading last time that his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, you see, being obedient to the law of the Lord. And so was Jesus Christ all of his life, as he made very plain that statement again and again. I kept my Father's commandments, you see. He did not come to invent his own religion, call it Christianity, and tell everybody, no, you follow me, and now you become Christians, you see. To begin with, the people of God never called themselves Christians. It was other people who called them Christians, you see, followers of Christ. That's all they meant by that. They obviously did not even use this word of Christians, but followers of the Messiah. And some people forget that. You know, they just take it for granted that they call them Christians. No, they call them followers of the Messiah, messianic, you know, as some people call themselves today. That's what it meant. You see, but if you really follow him and you call himself by that name, if you really do not follow him, so, you know, when he gets up in the morning and goes to the synagogue, if you don't follow him there, you are not of his. If he gets up in the morning and goes, you know, on a holiday that he gave to Israel, you see, be it the Feast of Trumpets or Tabernacles or Pentecost or, whichever, you know, holiday he gave them, or on the new moon, when he got up in the morning and went to the temple, if he was in that area, in the territory of Jerusalem, you see, there was also a day of worship. If you didn't follow him, you are not of his, you see. And if you sit around the table and ate meat, you see, and you, instead of sitting around the table and eating meat, you sit around your own table and you put ham on it, you don't follow him, and so forth, in many other areas. That's what it means to follow him. Obey the same law of the Lord that he did. Keep the same commandments of his Father which he did. You see? Those are the only people that he knows. That's why he told Israel, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. You see, only have I chosen. And when Israel obviously departed from him and went into pagan practices and idolatry, he didn't know them during those times. Because he's not going to know anybody that behaves in that manner. So that was applicable to them too. But he chose them, and he knew them, and he brought them out of Egypt, and he gave them a law, and as long as they walked in it, that's how he knew them. You see, that's the only way for you to know Jesus Christ. Some people say, no, know the Lord, you know, what do you mean know the Lord? They just talk about his person, you know, as if he's just a football hero, you know. Do you know, this guy or that guy, you know, or an actress or an actor, you see, or, a teen idol or whatever it may be. Oh, you may know about him, that's all you do know, but you don't know him. That guy doesn't know you from Adam, you see, and that's the way it is. Christ doesn't know you from Adam, so to speak, and that's what he told, he's going to tell to all those people that never walked in his law, in his footsteps, in his path, not only in terms of the moral law, as some people call it, but also in every law, in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every testimony, every precept, every judgment, every commandment, you see, every statue that proceeded out of his mouth, which he gave to Israel, be you holy, for I am holy. How? Either eat this kind of food or don't eat this kind of food. And so many other commandments, precepts, judgments, you know, statutes. If you do not follow that, you are not of his. He doesn't know you. That's the only way he's being formed in you, through his spirit, through his law, which is spirit, through obedience to his law. That's how you become like him. That's his DNA. That's his genes and chromosomes being formed in you. You see, a lot of people have been deceived, and that's exactly what he said will happen. Many shall come in my name. Oh, they just talk about me. No, just about me as a person. You know, good person, nice, you know, kind, merciful, compassionate. Jesus loves you and all that stuff, which is all true. And then they will deceive many. You see? By telling people, forget about his law, you know, we're just going to choose and pick, you know, what we're going to do and what we're going to follow, and forget all about the rest. Well, Christ, you know, as soon as he hears that from a person, he says, get out of my sight, you know, I'm not going to have a relationship with you. You know, you can talk to him all you want, he's not listening. As simple as that. That's what he told his own people, Israel. You know, your prayers, even when you raise up your hands and you pray, I'm not going to listen to you because your hands are full of blood. You see, not only physically but spiritually. Because any time we sin against God, we're shedding the blood of his Son. You see? Because his blood was shed for our sins. It's as simple as that. And if we don't get that message, we're going to get it the hard way. I never knew you. What are you going to do then? You see, there isn't going to be any argument at that point anymore. And obviously, if God is not calling you, you wouldn't understand, you know, what you read, what you hear, what you comprehend, you know, what you think you comprehend. You know, it's going to go over your head. You're blind. You can't see. You're deaf. You can't hear. You see? That's as simple as that. But if you are the one who are being called by God, you're going to understand and comprehend, and those are the only very people who are going to have any understanding of what you are hearing here, or, you know, anytime you open the Bible and you read it. You see, God will speak to you only when you listen to Him and you obey His voice and commandments. And so this is what he was doing here. This is what his parents taught him, you see, being obedient to the law of God. And this is what he did all of his life, and this is what he taught others, and this is what he said. Don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to do away with it, but to fulfill it, to magnify it, you see, so you can obey not only the facade of it, you know, the major aspects that everybody can see, but also the intents, the spirit of the law that is in it, far beyond, you see, just a letter of the law. And people have been taught, oh no, he came to do away with that, and he did it to begin with, he did it for us, we don't need to do it. And so, you know, so many other lies like that. Well, you're comfortable with those lies, you're comfortable with walking the broad way, have it your way until the end of the road. And where are you going to find you, you know, where are you going to find yourself at that point if you didn't come through the narrow road? And so I read here in verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, because that was the law of God, the law of the Lord. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Now, what you need to know about this time, you know, if you don't know anything about customs in the Jewish community, and also instructions and teachings of God himself, you see, not everything was recorded. Many of the laws that God gave Israel in terms of explanation of laws were, you know, considered to be a part of the oral law. And obviously you had to know which is which. But when a man or when a woman, you know, reach the age of puberty, you know, which is something that was invented by God, not by man. You see, we did not invent that age. God makes it that way. You reach an age of accountability and responsibility in the community. And so it was also in terms of obedience to the law of God. Up to that point, you know, whatever wrong things you have done, your parents will be responsible for it. After this point, when you go through this period of intensive study of the law of God, so you can be responsible and accountable for it, that's a privilege for you to know it and to obey it and to walk in it. Now you have a personal relationship with God as you never had before, you see. That's called the time, you know, that period of time, that last year of preparation between 12 and 13, the year of Bar Mitzvah. You see, year of preparation for the Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah means son of the commandment. Now you become subject to the commandments on a personal basis, and you become a son of it, a son of the Torah. You see, that's what it means. And Christ is the epitome of the Torah. You see, and Christ is your God and Creator, and so become his son. You become his well-beloved son when you walk in it. And therefore, God can say about you, this is my well-beloved son in whom I am very well pleased because he walks in my laws and commandments. Simple as that. Every parent is extremely happy when his son walks in his path and his way and his teachings. And so, this is not a coincidence, you know, that you read about this account here. This was a time for the intensive preparation for Jesus Christ. Not that he needed that like others, you see. All of his life, he was totally immersed in it. But you can see how he's getting involved in the community, because now the community is willing to accept a person of that age and a child now at this age who reaches basically manhood in accordance with the customs of the society. You see, you don't wait until you are 21 to become a man. In that society at 13, you are considered to be a man. And at that point, you are able to make all kind of business transactions and assume responsibilities that before that the community would not allow you to. And you can ascend to the stage, you know, where the law is being read and you can read it at this point, while you could not do it before that. So there are many things around it. If you want to familiarize with yourself a little bit with that, go to any synagogue, you know, that has a bar mitzvah on that Sabbath, and you'll get a little bit of an inkling of what it is all about. And that's what Christ was doing here, and that's why we can see him engaged in a conversation with the doctors of the law, where before that he wouldn't, you know, dare address them, and they would not talk to him. you see, because he's not a man, you know, he's not a man of the community, you see. He hasn't joined the community yet as an adult. And so a lot of information and background is around this, and people who don't understand it obviously would not know what they're talking about or would not understand what they're reading. And for a woman, basically it's 12, a year before that she matures sooner, and so nowadays people have a ceremony also for girls. They call it bat mitzvah, that means daughter of the commandment. And so this is what we read here. He's a boy, he's left behind, his parents don't know about it, they're on the way back after the feast. And verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company, that is, you know, their own company, because after all, they're big families, uncles and cousins and relatives, and all go up to the feast, all come back, so, you know, you think, well, he's just playing with the other kids. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, whatever the distance was, and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances, and nobody knew anything about him. He wasn't there. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. They're going, you know, all over the streets there. They're thinking, who knows, you know, what happened to him. So now it was that after 3 days, it took 3 days, imagine that, and how worried they were at that point. They found him in the temple of all places, you know, just like nowadays, you know, kids, that's the last place you will ever find them. You see, they'll be in the movie arcade, you know, they'll go be playing all kind of games, you know, go to Disney, whatever it may be. That was not on the mind of Jesus Christ, obviously. He went to the house of his Father. That was the house of the law, the knowledge of God, the truth of God. That's where the people that wanted to discuss, you know, the nature of God, the law of God came, and they talked to each other. And this is where he was. And so they found him in the temple, not only in the temple, but sitting in the midst of the teachers, which he could not have done if he was younger. But now he was recognized as a person who is being prepared for the bar mitzvah, you see, year. The bar mitzvah ceremony at the end of the year when he's 13. And so in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. You see, that's something that should teach us a lesson. You know, some people just like to ask questions. What about this? What about that? You know, they're not listening to you. You see? All they want to know is just ask, ask. You know, they all think only about themselves. Well, he was both listening. Not that he didn't know whatever they had to say, but he was not an arrogant, you know, smart aleck, young child. He had respect and honor in accordance with his very law, which he gave them in Sinai when he was a divine being. Honor your father and mother. Honor the elders. Honor your teachers. You see? And some people forget that. And they don't even teach to begin with their children and their youth to behave in that manner, not only toward them, but toward all other adults. A lot of children today or teenage today, you know, they don't even know how to talk. You try to address them, you know, they just look sideways because they don't know what to say. They have not been taught to have a conversation, a mature conversation, an intelligent conversation with adults. You see, that's how far we're from the law of God. But here, in this community, which is still to this very day, you go to Israel, there is no such a thing as child rearing. You know, generally speaking, in the Jewish community, in the Orthodox Jewish community, there is men's rearing. You want to rear them to become men and women, not children. From a very young age, you lead them in that direction through the law of God. Not your own, you know, inventions. Or, you know, the inventions of psychologists and people out there that have no knowledge of God. You see, through the knowledge of the law of God, you teach them to become men and women. So he now is a man in that 12th year, reaching toward 13. He's considered to be a man, so he sits among men. And in the midst of the teachers, both listening and asking them questions. And mind you, the first one that was mentioned is listening and then asking, not asking and then listening. You see? That should tell you something. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so when they saw him, his parents, that is, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." So in that sense, she in essence was reminding him that, you know, you got to honor your father and mother, and you forgot to do it, and, you know, that's contrary to your character. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" you should remember, you know, this is the time when I have to be totally, you know, prepared and given to the study of the law of God, of my Father, of my God. And he forgot that too. You see, so he also reminded them that they too may have forgotten something. And he was not impolite in saying that, you see. He did not say it in an insulting manner, you see. He was not a smart aleck, but in a humble manner, in a spirit of humility, also reminded them of things which are far more important. So sometimes spirits need to remember there is somebody more important than them to the child. That's his God, you see. And the law of that God. And obviously many parents oftentimes forget that. And so they come between the child and his God. And they forget that all have to have a personal and intimate relationship with him, and nobody should come in between. That is an interference. Verse 50, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Why? They knew that he was the Son of God. You see, so they were not as much on that wavelength that they should have been. They were not attuned to his spiritual relationship with his Father. They were just thinking about themselves as being the parents, and obviously to a degree forgot who is really the real Father, not only of Jesus, but their Father. And so they did not understand what he's talking about. And then he went down with them, you know, anyway, he was not about to rebel at this point, say, oh, forget about it, now I'm going to stay here. No, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Because honor your father and mother is not done away with because you know that you should be worshiping God rather than man. You see, because part of the worship of God is also that you honor your father and mother. So he was subject to them. You see? As he said about his own father, that he was always subject to his father. He always honored his father. He always obeyed the commandments of his father, and he was not coming as a smart aleck who knows better and coming up with a new law better than the law of his father, which to begin with, he's the one that gave to Israel. Yet this is the attitude that, you know, people in their ignorance are passing on and preaching about and teaching others to believe and to follow and to think that way. And that's very unfortunate. And so he was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. She still is pondering. She's not fully comprehending. Obviously, she's not on his spiritual level, you see, obviously. And so she does not fully comprehend and understand the work of God that is being done there right in front of her eyes. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And he continued to go to the synagogue and discuss it now that he's bar mitzvah, you know, subject to the commandments of God, you know, in a community sense, more than ever before. He spends more time with his God, spends more time in the synagogue, discussing with the elders, discussing the law. And he's growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He's dealing with both. He doesn't say, well, and I and God, forget about you. So he continues to honor his father and he continues to honor man. You see, who can give him some experience, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Chapter 3, now in the 13th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, so now we have a date, but certain events that are happening there. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his mother, that is his brother Philip, tetrarch of Ituria and the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, that's all these Greek territories or cities, tetrarch of Abilene, and these are the names of the governors, while Annas then Caiaphas were the priests, the high priest. You know, how can two be the high priest? Well, they were rotating. One was the father and one was the son-in-law. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. So at this point, John is 30. So if you go back to historic records and find out when it was the 13th year of the reign of Caesar, you see, Tiberius Caesar, and then you go back, you see, 30 years, you know when John was born, and then you also know when Jesus Christ was born. While Annas and Caiaphas, you know, were the high priests, that's when the word of God, this time the Father, came to Zechariah, and he was in the wilderness. He was not in a city. He was not in a seminary. He was not in a religious institution. He was not in Jerusalem sitting at the feet of Gamaliel or others. In the wilderness. You see? And some people to this very day, when they hear, you know, either a servant of God, teacher, whatever it may be, they want to know, what are your credentials? What school did you go to? Who cares what school did you go to? If you went to the school of God, this is what you should look for. A lot of people forget that. You see, that's how far we've departed from God. What school did Moses go to? Or the prophets? All the disciples? And people forgot that. Well, you know, if your name is not Dr. So-and-so, you are nobody. Who do you think you are? Well, Moses was not Dr. Moses. Jesus was not Dr. Jesus. The prophets were not Dr. whatever. The apostles were not Dr. whatever. Why do we think like that? Because we follow, you know, the traditions of men. That's why. And so we'd rather keep the traditions of men than the teachings of God and the law of God. You see, when Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, that doesn't mean, you know, he went to a seminary and he got a PhD. You see, that tells us an awful lot about where we are, how naked we are, how poor and miserable. Or Jesus Christ, you know, told his churches, his followers, in Revelation, you know, chapters 2 and 3. You know, you think that about a certain group, that you are rich and increased in good and lacking in nothing. You know, you're intellectual, you're intelligent, you can lend your own understanding. You see, you are so-and-so, you are PhDs, you are this or you are that. And you don't realize that you are poor and naked and blind and miserable and wretched. And many people are that way. And oftentimes, the more educated they are in the ways of this world, in the institutions that this world has created and built, supposedly, you know, God did it. As some people say, well, this is God's college, or this is God's seminary, or this is God's this, or God's that. You see? And they don't realize it's all of man. And the last thing they teach there is the law of God. You see? Well, that's the way they think, unfortunately. And so, this man, Zechariah, that is the son of Zechariah, John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, as Jesus Christ said, of man born of women, there has never been anybody greater than him. You know, he gets his PhD in the wilderness. Nobody's around there but God and him. That's where you get your PhD, directly from God and his word. You see, now obviously, if you need teachers, and John the Baptist, mind you, all of his life he went to the synagogue too on the Sabbath, and he learned the law of God there too. It's not that easy, he just sucked it from the air. You see, so that too is a part of it, as Christ also did it. But understand the ultimate source of it is God, not men. You see, not the board of directors or whatever, you know, they call them, you know, board of trustees or, you know, that give you the PhD. If you haven't got it from God, you haven't got it. That's all there is to it. And so he went into all the region around Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That was his commission. It is the law of God. God gave us a law. We are rebelling against it. Unless you return to it, you see, that's the end of the road for you. And had you come today, in this age, or in the past many ages, you see, he would have said exactly the same. And that's exactly what God had done in every given generation. He sent me men like John the Baptist, and sometimes even women, you know, who were righteous women, who were an example to their families and society around, like the prophetess Anna, you see. And he sent this man, generation after generation, just like John the Baptist, to tell people, unless you repent of the transgression of the law of God, not your own teachings, you see, you shall all likewise perish, as Jesus Christ said. And that's what he's telling them. He was preaching and baptizing, you know, about repentance for the remission of sins. That's the only way. And so when some people, you know, play all those charades and play games, you know, you take a little baby that doesn't know anything, does not even think at that point, you see, like an adult would, obviously, and they baptize that child, what does that child know? Well, when he's a little kid, you know, they baptize them and say, well, and I've been baptized in my church or things like that when I was a baby, and some do it later on. What does that mean? Do they know the law of God? Have you taught them the law of God? Are they responsible now for the law of God before God in the community? What are they going to repent of if they don't even know the law of God? You see? How can they have a remission of sins? And sin is a transgression of the law, as John said, 1 John 3:4. You don't know all those things. You don't do all these things. It's all in vain. That's what God said. In vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, you know, all the traditions of men. It's meaningless. You will never know that kind of a child, that kind of a babe, in other words, baptized supposedly in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, in the name of the pagan Trinity. You see, and all these lies and deceptions and all the vomit that the children of Israel and others have been fed all this time by false prophets. One of these days, the eyes of many are going to be opened and a lot of people are going to be spit in their face by others for deceiving them, leading them astray. A lot of red faces are going to be there. Especially all those high and mighty, you know, and all the others that sinned before Christ, and he tells them, I never knew you. And everybody looks at them, huh? You know, the high and the mighty that we thought are the great men of God, and Christ never knew them. You see? Well, if you want to wait until that time, that's your choice. And so, this is what he was doing. He was preaching the law of God. What else is he going to preach? And baptism of repentance from disobedience to the law of God for the remissions of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And there the Lord means Jehovah, the Eternal. God made it very plain, who is this person that appeared on the scene? Is Yeshua, God the Savior. So when people still have arguments and debates about him and his nature, it just tells you of what nature they are, of what spirit they are, that they are still blind, wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and they don't know it. You see? Prepare the way of the Eternal. That's what he said here. And the Eternal appeared on the scene in the flesh. He is the God of Israel, the lawgiver. You see? And all those, generally speaking, call themselves Christians in the past 19 centuries, they never knew it. They didn't know that Jesus Christ is the God of Israel, the husband of Israel, who came to cleanse and purge and purify his wife, to die for her, that he may take her back to himself and marry her and have children. You see, something that he wasn't intended for them to do anyway from the beginning of time, but, you know, they rejected their role. Now, he didn't reject them. They're going to do it whether they like it or not, so to speak. And so he said, you know, the prophecy said by Isaiah, prepare the way of the Eternal, make his path straight. And how do you do it? Well, you prepare people, you bring them back to the knowledge of the law that they were disobeying, and therefore all the sufferings that they had, you know, the boot of Rome that was over their neck is because of their disobedience to the law of God and rebellion and hatred of one another, you know, the law of God, you see? That's the reason for all that. So, you know, to make things straight, you have to go back to the law. Walk before God, obey his commandments, then all things will be fine. And so it says, every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low, spiritually speaking, and all those high and mighty are going to be brought low, empires, nations, peoples. The crooked places shall be made straight because people just perverted all their ways, all their teachings, all the ways of God, the teachings of God, and the rough ways smooth, speaking spiritually about things like that. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And in Jesus Christ, those people who were alive at the time they saw him, and at his coming, as he said, all flesh shall see him. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You see, that's the ultimate. And verse 7, and then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him. You see, and here it is, the multitudes. In another case, in Matthew, you read that those multitudes that he was talking about were not the ordinary people, but the Pharisees, the high and the mighty, the PhDs of the time, the intellectuals, the theologians. Those were the multitudes, you know. For, you know, to be politically correct, they, you know, they say, well, you know, everybody's going to be baptized, we might as well do it, you know, otherwise nobody's going to look up to us anyway, you see. So for them it was a pretense, and today it would have been the same had this happened today. You know, the average, you know, Joe, you know, will go and humble themselves and repent and acknowledge their sins and iniquities, just like at that time, you know, the publicans, the harlots, you know, the sinners, the tax collectors, you know, they knew what they were. They didn't play games, and they came and, you know, repented and acknowledged their sins. But the high and the mighty among them were playing games all along. And so that's how he's going to reply, you know, respond to them. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. Now you don't make friends like that. You see, and generally, you know, the so-called ministers of Christ, you know, they come and speak smoothly. Oh, God loves you. You know, just the way you are. Just come to God. You know, He's just waiting for you. You see? Oh, no, that's not the way you address people who will come, you know, in their hypocrisy, pretending to be servants of God, people of God, when they abhor and hate the law of God. Well, how can those false prophets, to begin with, speak in this manner like John, where they themselves are disobedient to the law of God? You see? And so He says to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. You turn away first from disobedience to the law of God that you yourself are teaching, claiming to be the great teachers of the law, and yet you do not obey that law. You do your own thing. You better do that first. That's the beginning. You repent, then you'll be baptized, and then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. You see, a lot of people want to come and receive the Holy Spirit without repenting. You know, they're willing to be baptized, but they're not willing to repent. They still want to, you know, hide that old man and keep him alive. You see, if not on the surface, at least, you know, in hiding when nobody knows it. And he says, you better, you know, first bring forth fruits worthy for repentance, because there are fruits which are not worthy for repentance. God is not going to accept it, just like He would never accept all those Israelites that brought the sacrifices to the tabernacle of the temple. Even though the priest accepted the sacrifice and offered it to God, He would not accept it if the heart of the person who brought it was not right. So the whole thing was in vain. And some people forget that. Most people have a vain religion. If your heart is not right, God is not accepting you, He's not listening to you, and you do it all in vain. You know, might as well go and go to the movies, go to the beach and enjoy yourself. And so He says, you bring forth fruits worthy of repentance and do not begin to say to yourselves, oh, we have Abraham is our father. You know, we're high and mighty, we're great, you know, we're special people, we're the chosen people. It means absolutely nothing to God. If you do not obey His law, it means absolutely nothing that you call yourself the chosen people. Many people do within the Jewish community. In their ignorance, they forgot about all Israel. And then on the other side, you know, the people of Israel who think they are Gentiles, they say, we are now the chosen people. We are now the Israel of God. And John will say to both of you, if you do not repent of your sins and iniquities and obey the law of God, you're a brood of vipers. You're hypocrites. That's all you are. That's as simple as that. And when people, you know, complain and bellyache, you know, well, how come we're the chosen people and we suffer and we're in affliction and pain and all kind of things like that, and you hear about destruction not only in the Jewish community but in the so-called Christian community, you know, so now and then you get a tornado, a church, you know, is felled by a tornado, and people wonder what happened. Well, they serve God and they think, you know, well, how come Johnny died, you know, if God is love? And they don't see themselves in the mirror of the law. You see? And John, for their own good. He's not hating them, he loves them. But he's not going to love just as much as God is not going to love, and so much more so, you know, the vomit that we bring with us before God, and we think we're going to worship Him with that. You see? We have to come clean first before we approach the throne of God. That's what God says. Who is he that dares approach me? If God hasn't called you and He does not wash you and cleanse you and purge you by His word, by His law, and you are not submitting to it, you see, you are not going to be able to appear before Him. And so the person in the parable that appeared before Him in the kingdom, as Jesus Christ gave that parable, who did not have the garments of righteousness, he dared approach Christ without repenting, thinking, well, I'm just as good as anybody else, you know, I'm just, you know, I love Christ, you know, He's in my heart and all that stuff. God threw him out. He told the angels, take him out, you bind him into outer darkness there. You know, how dare he come over here, not having the garment of righteousness, which is the law of God. That's how you are being attired with righteousness and holiness. There is no other way. You see? And so he says, you know, well, you know, your arrogance, you say, don't say that. He said, well, you know, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And Abraham walked in the faith of God. Abraham didn't do his own thing. Abraham was commanded by God to walk in His path and in His ways and to be perfect before Him. And so did Isaac, and so did Jacob, and so did, you know, did Joseph and all the men that, you know, were faithful. Abraham obeyed the law of God, and if you are to be a part of the faith of Abraham, you better walk in his footsteps. And this is what God said about his friend Abraham to his servant Isaac. In Genesis 26, you read in verse 5. Why is it in verse 4 that he's going to give, you know, as he said in verse 4 to Isaac, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, you know, the lands of the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, you see, and it's still theirs to this very day, all of Israel, not only Judah. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? And he's explained to Isaac. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. He just didn't say, well, I'm just going to walk by faith. You know, I just, you know, I have Christ in my heart. I'm going to walk by faith alone. No. Abraham obeyed my voice. Whatever I told him, he heard it and did it. He kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And if we do not follow in the footsteps of Abraham and the faith of Abraham, just like he did, and some people think, oh no, the law of God was given only in Sinai. Well, that's, you know, children of ignorance that think that way. That was given in the Garden of Eden. And what God came and gave in Mount Sinai was basically a codification of all those laws. That's why when people found the Code of Hammurabi, the archaeologists decided they found many of the laws that Moses gave Israel, you see, because God gave it to him to give to Israel, were already in the Code of Hammurabi. Why? Because the servants of God preserved that knowledge and understanding, and a measure of it still was in Babylon. You see, and some people think, oh, well, Abraham just walked by faith, because, you know, they later on in their ignorance, they read some of the writings of the Apostle Paul, and having no knowledge, no understanding of what he's talking about, they think, oh, no, all he talks about is just faith, you know, just the faith of Abraham, and that's all I have to do, just believe in Christ, and that's all there is to it. Abraham would not have received one single promise, you see, from God, had he not obeyed the voice of God, kept his charge, his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. And he says to Isaac, God says to Isaac, this is the one that became Jesus Christ, that's the reason why I gave it to him, and that's the reason why he's going to give it to his people and to his descendants. You see, God has no pets. He doesn't have favorite pets. You obey him, you're his son. You don't, you know, as Christ said, you know, who is my father and brother and son and so forth? The ones that do the will of my Father. And what was the will of the Father? That's what he asked the father of the faithful, Abraham. You keep my charge, my voice, commandments, statutes, judgment, precepts, you know, everything that I give you, then I'll give you all those promises. You don't, forget about it. That's as simple as that. So that's what he's reminding them here, of what God told Abraham and what God told Moses to tell Israel, what God told the prophets to remind Israel of. Don't think that just because you are the sons of Abraham physically, you know, that you have salvation, because God can raise, you know, stones. Of course, obviously, God is not going to do it, you know, from stones. But, in essence, he tells them, God doesn't need you. If you don't need him, if you don't obey him, you have no place in his kingdom. It's as simple as that. And that message goes for every single one of us. You see, that's not something, well, before the cross. And then, you know, that law was nailed down to the cross, you see. Now, what need was there for Abraham to even obey it if that was going to be nailed to the cross? You see, when to begin with, Christ made it very plain, it has never been done away with, never will be until heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from this law. You see, so what serenade have you been listening all this time? The swan song, you know, deceivers, ministers of the devil, who appears as ministers of righteousness, as Paul would describe them even in his own days. They already began to rise and to deceive many among the people of God. And so that's what he's saying to them. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the only fruit that God accepts is the fruits of repentance and fruits of obedience to the law of God. None else. That's how he is our God, when we obey him. You see, if you live in America and you obey the laws of America, you're an American, you're obedient to the government of America. You don't go and obey the laws of the government of France. You see, you go to France for that. That's what God says to us. You want to be in my kingdom, you obey my laws. That's how I become king over you and live my life in you. That's a simple message that many perverted, because they are perverted to begin with, and they've been, you know, raised into ignorance. Oftentimes they don't know their right from their left. On a personal basis, you know, there may be very fine people, good people, nice people, moral people in many ways, but deceived, you see, and they don't know it. And God is merciful to all. And so this is what he says to people here that were not deceived. They knew better. These people were unfortunately hypocrites, and many in religion are hypocrites. They know better, and they do it anyway. And so he says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit, you know, good fruit, is cut down and thrown to the fire. God is not a respecter of persons, and this is going to be the end. You know, like a tree, you throw it into the fire. The tree, you know, the fire consumes the tree. There is no more tree. You don't burn forever, you know, as a tree. And you don't burn forever when God throws you into the lake of fire. You are consumed, you become ashes, people walk all over you. There is no such a thing as hell. You know, the concept of pagan, you know, any given pagan religion had that concept, and that entered into the body of believers, including into the Jewish community too. That's not of God. John makes it very plain, just like in Malachi. That's what's going to happen to the wicked. Thrown into the fire, consumed, become ashes, and that's it. As if that person never existed. Verse 10, so the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? Now the other people, not the hypocrites, you know, that came there just for to be politically correct, you know, make believe. And he answered to them, now all kind of people that came to him to be baptized, they said, what are we going to do? You know, in contrast to those people, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. In other words, don't be selfish, greedy, you know, hoarding to yourself, not caring for your neighbor, because that's the law of God. Care for the others. You're successful. Why are you successful? Because God gave you the ability to be successful. What are you going to do with it? You know, consume it on yourself, your family, and not care for others? If you do, you see, if that's the kind of a person you are not a servant of God. You can give yourself all you want, and you can give a lot of money and donate either to the church or synagogue or whatever. You are not a follower of God. That's what he tells them. That's a part of the repentance. And he who has food, you know, he got, you know, the material needs. Well, people need material needs too. Physical things. Care for them too. So you do likewise. Share it with others. Because we're all sons of the same Father. And if your brother is destitute and hungry, you think that you can please God by forsaking your brother? And pretend like, you know, you're a good person inside of God. He's not going to accept you. You see, that's the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Both were, you know, the sons of Abraham, the sons of God. Members of the chosen family. You see, but look where one ended. Verse 12, then the tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they were the ones who were gouging people, and they still do to this very day, and many of them are as vicious as they can be. You see, because that profession teaches them to be that way. Unfortunately, they even go beyond the call of duty. You see, they just, you know, they develop an attitude, we against them, you know, just like the police people oftentimes develop that attitude if you're not careful, you know, we and them. You know, we and them, we're all the people of God, children of the same community and nation and people should love and care for about one another. We're all human beings. We should never shade that concept from our minds about others. You see? And the professionals say, now we, you know, and the lame person, so forth. Divisions within the family of men. It's a part of confusion that comes from the devil, not of God. So the tax collectors, you know, they come to him to be baptized, and he said to them, you know, they said to him, that is, teacher, what shall we do? So they're willing to repent. They recognize their iniquities and what they do. They're not pretending, they're not playing games. And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you, because that's exactly what they were doing, so they can put the rest into their pocket. And that's against the law of God. That's not a question of morality. That's a law that says, do not steal. You see? Some people like to invent this name, morality. There is no such a word in the Bible. You're either obedient to the law of God or you are not. You see? Be it in your human behavior or, you know, the way you treat the field. You know, the way the ecology, you know, as they call it, the environmentalists, and, you know, they always up at arms because people pollute the land. All that is a part of the law of God. You either do it right or you don't. You cannot play games there in any aspect of the law of God. And so he says, well, do not collect more than it is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers. Imagine, soldiers. Now, Jews are not soldiers, unless they were soldiers in the armies of Herod, you see, or, you know, their own groups. But even Romans were there, people that lived in the land and heard about it and learned enough about the law of God, and many of them, because of that, you know, began to attend the synagogue, at least outside. Well, they too come to him, and they say, what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. They were not receiving enough money, so they had to go, you know, in order to supplement their income to do all kind of those evil things against other people. He says, don't do it anymore. If you want to repent, you see, you cannot be this kind of people. Simple as that. So that goes for the government, that goes for the civil government, that goes, you know, for the military government, that goes for the religious government, that goes for the ordinary people, that goes for the community, in the business community, industry, you know, in the teaching profession, anything. There are laws that govern human behavior. They are the laws of God and not of man. You see? And God says, you either repent of your ways, let the wicked, you know, turn away from his way and come to my way, which is the way of harmony, of love, of care, of compassion and mercy. You see? And unless you are willing to walk that way all the way in your treatments of your family, of your mates, of your neighbors, of your subordinates, also under you, of your land around you, you see, of the beast of the field and so forth, all these are governed by the law of God. And if you do not take the whole thing, every precept and statutes and judgment and testimony of God that regard that, you know, had to do with everything in life, materialism, spiritual, you know, life, whatever it may be, you're not going to be pleasing in the sight of God, and God is not going to accept you. So don't play games with that. That's why the law of God can never be done away with. And until the next time, this is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all.